Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Matt, I've been a fan for many years, and that is why I decided to wear one of my sluttiest chemises for you on this gay ass podcast recording. Thank you so much for coming on.
I was going to mention it. Thank you for having me. I love the chemise. What's the material?
I mean, it's probably the most flammable Marshalls women's on sale.
Is it sparkly?
It's sparkly, and it's giving like crocheted. It's giving like,
oh yeah,
she's a little sheer.
That, I love that.
Yeah, I like
that.
That
looks like it goes in a drag bag. My drag bag.
It does go in a drag. Yeah. Drag. I mean, for the people who might not know your full lore, let me just run through a few of your crazy credits.
Great, please.
So not only did you recently do a new musicale at Paper Mill called Take the Lead, you're currently in a bunch of great shorts playing the festival circuit, but people might really know you from your Broadway past of doing Legally Blonde, Pal Joey, Chicago, other desert cities. You were in Sex and the City 2 on film. You did 8 episodes of Modern Family. She's done Looking, Gossip Girl, How to Get Away with Murder, Tales of the City, Younger. And she's also a hot, hairy queen. Matt, congrats on this life.
You'd think I'd have more money with that resume.
People think that if you have any success in the entertainment industry, it equals a $5 million home. And unfortunately, that's not the cost.
It's so true. It's so true. Or that, like, it's easy for me to get a job, or, you know what I mean?
Well, you clearly still hustle because you're constantly working, W-E-R-K.
Well, yeah. I'm glad it looks like that. Italicize and underline and bold the hustle, mama. It's tough out here. The business is falling apart. You're in Los Angeles? Are you in Los Angeles?
Yeah, and it's dark-sided.
It's dark-sided. That Hollywood sign's going to crumble down the canyon, honey.
And then burst into flames. Well, there's a lot of questions I do have about your herstory, but I also like to ask our guests on That's a Gay Ass podcast for this horny bonus series, when we use the word slut, I use it as a compliment. Is it a word that you identify with, or was it maybe something you used to be but you no longer are?
I think it's like once a slut, always a slut. I don't think being a slut goes away. I think much like grief, you carry it around like a suitcase. You can sort of like, you know, at certain times it weighs more, but and then sometimes you just sort of pack it away and put it.
It's just like they say that laughing is 2 inches away from crying, and sluthood is very close to grief.
It's 2 inches away from crying. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yes, exactly. Yes, it is.
And most sluts are on the verge of tears. Have you had a pretty slutty week or a chaste week?
I'm in sort of like somewhere in between. I guess like I'm at the five. I've been on vacation with my boyfriend, and it's always nice to get away, and it becomes stress-free. Although we were visiting family, which was stressful, but you know, some you got to run away to the bedroom every once in a while.
And well, absolutely. And let me ask you this happen. Because I just a week ago was spent a week with my family, and I have found okay. that every time I get back from the family trip is when my pheromones are screaming.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think that absolutely is a thing for sure.
Where did you vacation with the boy? Where was the fam?
We went up. My father and stepmother are in Massachusetts. We're like there. It's beautiful on the North Shore of Boston. It's really nice up there. The relationship is a bit tense. It's a little fraught, but we work through it. We breathe through it. We avoid certain topics.
Yeah. Tell me, is the category of fraughtness, that they are MAGA, that they are not so secretly homophobic, that
they're MAGA.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Which is, I think we're living in an interesting time where we are now reckoning with the fact that at least half the country is of that cult. And it's like us, we as gay people who might have families that are a part of it, how do we, you know, some people are just like, yeah, cut and dry, you cut them out. And obviously that's not, it's not something that we all can or want to do.
Right. That is very true. I've tried every tactic. There's been screaming, there's been crying, there's been pleading. I mean, I go through the book. It's like I've tried everything over the last however many years, and it's to no avail. So it just sort of is like agree to disagree. And I mean, it's hard. I showed up there, when was that, last summer? When did he get shot in the ear? We literally walked in the door within 5 minutes. My stepmother was watching the news, and she was like, he got shot. And me and my boyfriend were like, I wanted to like scream with joy.
Of course.
And like couldn't, but like it was just there's always something that goes down. And then of course this week it was like DC and like gay marriage being taken to the Supreme Court, and I'm just like, oh
God. Yeah, the timing of that trip was toof.
You know, they're old and they're set in their ways, and like I can only do so much, but I do try. And then, of course, you know, like trying to help out in other ways in terms of like, I don't know, trying to make the world a better place.
Sure. You know what I have learned in therapy that's been helpful? Because I have been very lucky. My family is not MAGA. They're on the right side of history there. But if there's anything that I don't align with my parents, because obviously there are with anyone that just has parents, is the my therapist said that kind of struck me is that because we can't change them, and they certainly will not change, and because their time on this earth is limited, we could make the decision to disassociate the things that we don't agree with, try to maximize the time we do have about the subjects that we can align on, and like glean some sense of positivity from that.
Totally.
Because we are going to live in a world at one point in our lives where our parents aren't here. So it's like, mm-hmm. It's heavy and tough.
It is. It's very heavy and tough. And it's like my boyfriend said, he's like, you know, I think spending time with them, I haven't seen them in a year. And just to be clear, my father and my stepmother is one. And then my mother and my stepfather are another. And they're very liberal. And so it's a weird divide there.
Yeah.
You know, my boyfriend said something very smart, which was like, you know, like you haven't seen him in a while, everything that's going on, you just attach to him. And so it's just like, you paint this picture of him being this monster, and like spending time with him will humanize him. And it did, you know, it was sort of like, I went in there being like, I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to bring this up, and I need to prove this point, and blah, blah, blah. And I had like a list, and I was like, here we go. Like, this is what, and it just like all went out the fucking window the second I showed up. And I was like, that's not how to do this. Like, it's just, you have to like keep a distance. You have to connect when you can connect. You have to like, you know, he's getting old, and he is old. And it's like, how do we enter this next chapter of
absolutely
life?
Absolutely. And you know what? Yeah. Sometimes I think it's weird as gay people too, to like when you grow up being closeted, and then when you do come out, and you're like, well, I want to live a very honest, open life. And then you find yourself in scenarios where you're not allowed to be fully honest and open. It's like, well, wait a minute. This is sort of counter to what my entire ethos is as a gay ass adult, which is sort of a mind fuck. But listen, am obsessed with your honesty about family shit and, of course, with your gay ass journey professionally. It would be against my religion not to talk about Legally Blonde. You were a part of the original Broadway production. You, of course, filmed the MTV airing of the show, which I would say radicalized me in my hometown of St. Louis, Missouri. How does it feel to be a part of history?
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's truly a highlight of my career. I think it was my favorite theatrical experience for sure, if not my favorite like professional experience, period. You know, Jerry Mitchell, it was his Broadway directorial debut.
Yes.
And not to say that he never puts 130% into everything, because he does, but I think there was that energy of like, he was like, I have something to prove in this arena. And Larry and Nell, who wrote the music and lyrics, and Heather, who wrote the book, just were so smart. And I think that I remember being at the first audition, and you know, this was coming out of like, I had just lived with some roommates in Boston before moving to the city, and it was like, we'd always be like, oh my god, yeah, oh my god, yeah. It's like just making fun of like that typical white girl thing, which at that time was like very funny and very like in vogue. And I remember showing up to the audition and seeing like sides that the girls were singing, and the song was just like, oh my god, you guys one word. And I was like, oh, this is gonna be brilliant. Like, this is gonna be so funny. Like, they get it. They get it. And I was like, I need to be a part of this. And it was brilliant. Jerry puts together people who know how to have fun. And like, he says this, he's like, at the end of the day, like, I can hire really great people, but at the end of the day, I also want to be able to have dinner with them and like laugh. And we all fucking laughed so much. We had so much fun. We worked so hard. We partied so hard. It was a great group. And it was like such a blast from soup to nuts. And the filming of the MTV thing was so bizarre, because I remember at the time people in the community was like, there was like a sense of like, why would you do that? How dare you? Like, don't tape it. Like, people aren't going to come to the theater anymore if you film it and you can watch it at home. And I was like, part of me was like, maybe they're right. Like, maybe this is bad. Like, should we be doing this? And then, of course, it was the exact opposite. And like,
well, God forbid, you know, God forbid you break the mold and do something out of the norm. I just remember like the feeling of watching Bailey Hanks versus Autumn Hurl. Is it Hurlburt?
Yeah.
And then when Bailey got it, I was like, you know what? I get why she got it. But then cut to like, she makes her Broadway debut. She does the show. And now she's like, isn't she like pretty much out of the business?
I think she's out of the business.
Which like, God bless her, you know?
It's not, honey, it is not for everyone. It is hard out here.
Yeah. And I think, I think I saw that she was like, she either like directed a production of it or like did a production of it in like Alabama or something. I'm like, you know what?
That's
That's kind of badass. And then Autumn, meanwhile, just led.
I know.
It was a total flop, but at least she, you know, she's showing her gorgeousness on stage still.
I really wish I had gotten to see her go on. You're talking about the Tammy Faye?
Yeah.
I really wish I'd gotten to see her go on. I know. She's so talented. I love her.
She's, oh my God. And then the fact that the search for Elle Woods was like a yet another extension of the Legally Blonde universe. If you go from like Broadway production, which already people gave shit to because it was one of the first, like, oh, let's take a modern hit movie,
right,
make the musical, oh, it's going to be hack and bad. And of course it was incredible. But then to go from like taping it on MTV and then doing a competition show, it's just like
wild.
Just so good. So good.
America's Next Top Model as a search for the next Elle Woods, like, you know, the model for that. It's brilliant.
And they made those poor girls do choreography and like stilettos on the cobblestones.
Honey, in Dumbo, in the streets of Brooklyn.
On the streets of Brooklyn. Were you a part of the search for Elle Woods at all?
No, and I was so mad. I kept waiting for the day they'd call and be like, okay, we're going to do this scene now. We're going to do it. And they never fucking did.
Okay, Matt, we're going to do this scene, but the girls are going to have peanut butter in their mouth. Like, something so mean.
Yes! That's what we want. Like, you know, in Top Model when they're walking on the runway and the clocks and they all get I was like, I want that. Yeah.
There's also the Top Model clip of they're doing, like, they have to walk through a full party and they have to do an ad. And
it's the best, of course.
It's all just JJ.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so iconic.
Well, you also, I find so iconic that you're also part of gay lore with Sex and the City, too.
Right.
Are the rumors true that you were in the wedding chorus?
Yes, I was. Yes, if you look really, really hard in one scene, you could see me out of focus in the background. But it was such a blast. It was so many of us. It was like Andrew Rannells, Paul Kanin,
Max von Essen,
Nick Adams, Ben Hughes. Like, it was like anyone who was on Broadway at that time was in it. And it
and
was
then Liza Minnelli so, was and then performing of course Liza at Minnelli. The wedding.
Yeah. Performing Beyonce, nonetheless. And we were like, what?
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
And, I mean, that woman showed up and did the thing. She gigged the fuck out. And, like, it was incredible. I mean, it was so fun. I mean, that scene was so long. We filmed it for, like, a week at a soundstage in Brooklyn. It went on forever. And then they were off to Abu Dhabi. You know, it was like, they're like, we're so excited we're going to Abu Dhabi. We can't wait for this international travel.
Were you off camera all just like key-keying in your trailers? Were you sucking dick with the chorus boys? What was happening off cam?
I'm sure some people were. No, you know what? We didn't have trailers. That's so sweet that you thought we had trailers. They shoved us in like a dressing room that was like a, you know, all of the whatever, and that we'd go back to. No, we were all pretty professional. I mean, maybe some people snuck off and did something. I don't know. I wasn't a part of it. But it was, I remember it being that thing where, you know, they would bring us all to set, and then Michael would like handpick certain people to be like, and to watch certain people like try to grab for the front, you know, like who was going to like, Michael, and like, you know, do that thing, which you have to do. You have to network, you have to listen, you have to kiss butt, you have to do all listen. That thing. I just certainly, I was sort of like more of a, as I tend to be, which is, could afford to be a little more forward, but you know, in the back a little bit, sort of just letting
can
the girls
I tell you though that
yeah.
You and I align on that, and I not to now make your Liza Minnelli story about me, but I got to shoot a commercial, I forget how many months ago it was, but there were people that were like, Michael, and it was because it was for a Super Bowl commercial, and I was very much not that, and then I ended up, thank God, making Into the Final Cut, but it's my blurred face for half of a second, so that's my Sex and the City 2 moment.
Okay, but did the check clear?
The check cleared.
Thank you. That's all we care about.
Truly, also, that's all we care about.
That's all we care about. Also, like, when I was in Chicago for 2 years as my Broadway debut, Liza Minnelli would come to the show by herself, and she would sit fifth row center, and she would mouth every word, and she would live vicariously. She would just come to relive. And that's my Liza Minnelli moment. And then she would come backstage every time, and she'd come up to you and hug your cheeks and be like, you were incredible. She had no idea who I fucking was. You were so incredible. And like that to me was like, nothing will ever surpass that for me. Like,
well, you know, it's Catholics so get baptized, and when gay people become holy, it's when Liza Minnelli grabs him by the cheeks and say, "You are so wonderful."
Can you imagine? I turned to dust. I turned to gay dust.
I'm so happy for you, because a win for you is a win for us all. And you know, you also have another big win, which is that you know Murray Bartlett. And he comments on a lot of your posts. And I want to know, how does it feel to be acquainted with one of the sexiest men alive?
Great, intimidating, powerful, scary, wonderful, warm. I love that man to death. He is... People are always like, is he really like so nice? I'm like, he is the nicest person
he seems
you will
like
ever
it.
Meet. He's such a fucking doll. And he's so talented, and he works so hard, and he's so generous. And I remember having dinner with Michael Landon, who created Looking, like this was years after we had done it. And I was like, you know, Michael, I'm just like really struggling out here in LA. I'd moved to LA. And I was like, I'm just having, you know, he was like, you should call Murray. Like, Murray's in the same boat. Like, he's really going through it. No one's hiring him. Like, and so Murray and I would get together and sort of bitch. And then we got to do Tales of the City together, where we were boyfriends again. I was like, this is so Becher and incredible and lovely. Mm. And we had so much fun. And then I think it was COVID. And then White Lotus was like one of the first shows that filmed in COVID, I think. And I think I went to P-Town, and he was like about to go shoot it. And like, I was like, Murray, this is it. Like, this is going to be it. This is Mike White. Like, this show's going to be, he was like, oh, I don't think it's gonna. And I was like, no, like, this is gonna launch you. And then the next time I saw him, like, the show had come out and we were out in New York and we had seen a movie and we were out at Lincoln Center and people were like, and, like, he couldn't even get on his bike to, like, go home. Because, and I was just like,
isn't that wild to go from the two of you sort of commiserating in LA, which I have also done with so many friends, and then to then see him blow up so deservedly. So, and a part of a show that, I mean, come on now, not only is his performance incredible, but then he gets to eat ass on camera, like, and then become like a part of the cultural conversation.
Well, that's why he took the job. That's why he took the job.
Ultimately, he's a storyteller of tongue in hole. Well, it's also my job on this podcast to ask some horny questions. So, if you don't mind, I would love to ask you, Matt, on your slut journey, would you say that you grew into your slutdom organically as you got older, or did you start young?
I started young, baby.
And can you give us the United State in which you were slutting it up as a young person?
Massachusetts, where I'm from.
So were you, like, sucking DL guys? What were your first slutty experiences? For the rest of this interview, head to Substack, linked in the description, where Matt and I talk about open relationships, slutty origin stories. Matt tells a story about how he met his boyfriend that is so beyond romantic, and it spans decades. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's G-Min Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark. They're all hot. The stories are amazing. And you should go check it out at substack.com/@Eric Wills, linked in the description. I love you. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.